Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
And the trade mill and the poor law, they're still in full vigor, I presume?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, from what you said at first, I was afraid that something had happened to stop them in their useful course.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You might be an undigested bit of beef. A piece of cheese. A fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave in you. Whatever you are.
I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was. Believe me, I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. There are clearly a number of ways in which A Christmas Carol could be introduced.
It is perhaps one of the best-known Christmas stories of all time, based on a novella written by Charles Dickens in 1843, more than 175 years ago. If you check the seasonal selection of your local bookstore, you'll probably find a recent publication of A Christmas Carol, likely in his Christmas Books or Stories for Christmas, the collection written by Dickens. There are dozens of movie versions of A Christmas Carol. It's been the inspiration for seasonal episodes of regular TV sitcoms for decades. It's being produced as a stage play this season, probably somewhere not very far from you. And one of the early great productions of A Christmas Carol to make a lasting impression in the 20th century and well into the 21st came out over the radio. I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 3, Episode 11. In the early days of radio drama, most of the productions heard over the air were adaptations of plays that had been written for the stage. Some were radio plays based on books. I suppose each of these transformations represents an early form of what we now call transmedia. When writers started creating original dramas, especially for broadcast on the radio, they were able to start bringing truly authentic new voices to the air in radio style. You see, when actors of the early 1900s were first contracted to perform for radio, they had a hard time coming to terms with the fact that they needed to speak for the listener, not for the audience member in the back row. Actors had to be taught how to act for radio. It's different from stage or screen. It's not based on your vocal projection, facial expression, physical gestures, place, and movement. It's all about becoming a credible character who interacts with other members of the cast while performing for the listener. That new technology thing in front of the actors, that microphone, think of it as the listener's ear. As for bringing A Christmas Carol to the radio, the first production appears to have been on BBC Radio in Britain in 1923. There are dozens of other radio productions. There's a radio station somewhere doing its own version this season. Other stations will broadcast an earlier version from the golden days of radio. Perhaps the best known of these is the Campbell Playhouse production from 1939. To get the show done, Campbell's teamed up with the Mercury Theatre of the Air and Orson Welles. Welles is the narrator. The star of the show, Ebenezer Scrooge, is played by one of the best-known American movie actors of the era, Lionel Barrymore. But the story goes back even further. 1939 is not the first time Welles was involved, nor Barrymore. The first Campbell Soup Playhouse version of the story comes on Christmas Day, 1934, and it's recreated each Christmas. Barrymore plays Scrooge, except for 1936, when his brother John takes the role following the death of Barrymore's wife. Then, in 1938, he's sick, so Welles takes the role of Scrooge. Yes, just weeks after the War of the Worlds broadcast, Welles is on the air as Scrooge. But it's the 1939 performance that is recorded, preserved, and heard through history.
Myself, I am most struck by the happy fortune that enables us on this Christmas Eve to present Mr. Lionel Barrymore, the best-loved actor of our time, in the world's best-loved Christmas story, A Christmas Carol.
It's quite likely that when Alastair Sim performed in what I consider the best movie version of the story in 1951, it was Barrymore's Scrooge that inspired him. It's Sim as Scrooge we heard at the start of this show, used here under fair dealing provisions of copyright for educational purposes. Listen as Barrymore's Scrooge meets the ghost of Christmas past.
Like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who is that?
Ebenezer Scrooge, I have come for you.
You are the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold me?
I am that spirit.
What are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past.
And later, as Scrooge is transformed and redeemed, even if this is the first time you have heard the radio drama, it's surely familiar.
Mr. Scrooge, are you quite yourself, sir?
No, thank heaven I'm not quite myself. Merry Christmas, Bob. Merry Christmas, my good fellow. A merrier Christmas than I've given you in many a year. I'll raise your salary and we'll see what we can do for Tiny Tim and the rest of your family. We'll discuss it this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop. Bob, make up the fire.
Lionel Barrymore continued to perform as Scrooge in annual productions on radio until 1953. In 1975, the CBS Mystery Theater, a series I loved for its crystal clear sound in those days, produced A Christmas Carol starring E.G. Marshall. For every other episode in all the years of the CBS Mystery Theater, Marshall was the narrator. From 1973 until 1987, A Christmas Carol was produced each year at WNBC New York, starring radio music and talk stars Don Imus as Scrooge, Murray the K as Bob Cratchit, and Wolfman Jack as the Ghost of Christmas Present. Of course, there are podcast productions of A Christmas Carol, too. Here's a taste from the Radio Drama Revival Project, produced by the Voices in the Wind troupe in Toronto, California, in 2014.
You are about to show me shadows of the things that have not yet happened, but will happen. Spirit, will you not speak to me?
No.
Oh, ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I've seen. But as I know your purpose is to do me
And on
good.
It goes. A story written in 1843 endures to this day as one of the world's favorite Christmas stories. I think it has something to do with the hope it gives, the idea that one can change for the better. You can relive the story live almost anywhere you go this time of year. There are several live stage productions of A Christmas Carol happening here in Toronto, Canada. Enough that the ratings and ticket sites are trying to tell you which one is the best to see. There are the movies, none better than the one from 1951, I maintain, with Alastair Sim, from George Minter at United Artists Studios. And, for 80 years now, we've had this on the radio.
You have just heard our annual presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, starring Lionel Barrymore, brought to you by the makers of Campbell's Soups.
And right now, someone, somewhere, I'm pretty sure, is dreaming of creating their own audio version of A Christmas Carol for radio or for podcast. This is Cross Talk, the final episode for Season 3. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach podcasting and radio.